Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Peter returns to the subject of trials. Again? Yes, again. It must be an important subject, because as we're working our way through 1 Peter chapter 4, we come to the topic of trials for the children of God in 1 Peter 4:12 and 13. Peter says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Trials for the children of God. Now, I don't need to tell you that there are some segments of so-called Christianity today that deny that Christians are supposed to have trials, that they are some kind of an aberration, that if you are experiencing trials, it's because you don't understand the truth properly to apply it in such a way that you can avoid the trials if you just understood the truth of God's Word, and if you believed, if you had the kind of faith you ought to have, you could avoid these trials. That God doesn't want His children to suffer. God doesn't want His children to have trials. It's only our own malfeasance and lack of faith which would cause us to have trials. Oh, really? Did you ever read 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13? In fact, how much have you read the Bible at all? The Bible is saturated with the message that God's children will suffer by God's design. And if that doesn't please you, then that's because you don't have a heart that wants to submit to the will of God. Because God makes it clear that this is His design. God makes it clear that this pleases Him. And whatever pleases God ought to please the child of God. Lord, help us. Lord, help us that it may be so. So that's where we're going on this Friday, May 9. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting us with the financial gifts necessary to keep us on this station. Well, so many of the writers of Scriptures talk to us about trials because it is such a big part of the life of every child of God, and it is a difficult issue to understand and to deal with properly. And that's why Peter talks about trials, and that's why James talks about trials, and that's why the other apostles talk about trials, and that's why Christ talks about trials. We'd like to avoid them. It runs counter to the desires of our flesh. We don't desire them. We don't welcome them. We don't embrace them, normally speaking. And yet, we can learn to when we understand how important they are and how God uses them for such good in our lives. Beloved, Peter is writing tenderly to the children of God. Beloved, Peter is writing encouragingly to the children of God. Beloved, Peter is writing to those who are loved by Peter because they are loved by God. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you also may be glad with exceeding joy. So, here are the proper attitudes necessary to endure trials in a godly way. Now, first of all, we need to deal with three wrong attitudes toward trials. Number one, to consider suffering surprising. Peter says, beloved, do not think it strange. Do not think it strange. That's the same word that was used in chapter 4, verse 4. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Unbelievers think Christians are strange that they don't find delight in sinful pursuits. Well, they think you're strange, that you don't think it's fun to go out and get drunk. Oh, they think it's strange that you don't think that the height of fun is to get to be engaged in some act of immorality. Oh, they think it's strange that you don't find your greatest joy in cheating someone out of something that belongs to them for your own personal gain, and on it goes. Oh, unbelievers think Christians are a strange lot, that we don't find joy in those kinds of things, but we don't, and we can't. The Holy Spirit has changed our hearts and changed our perspective, and we don't find joy in those kinds of things anymore, though once we did. Well, that's the same word. Beloved, think it not strange, surprising, astonishing. It's a present imperative. This should be your regular reaction. Don't ever think it strange. Not in the past, not in the present, not in the future. Do not be thinking it strange. After you get over the initial surprise, which of course will happen when it catches us by surprise, but after you've had time to consider it for a few moments, don't think it strange, that fiery trial that has come to try you. Your first reaction shouldn't be, why is this happening to me? This shouldn't be happening to me. Why not? Well, because I'm God's child and I'm trying to please Him. I'm trying to live for Him. So? Well, I shouldn't have trials if I'm doing that. Who said? Did you find that in the Bible? Where did you get that idea? Not from the Bible, not from Jesus, not from Peter, not from James, not from the apostles of Christ. Beloved, don't think it's strange. Why shouldn't God's children suffer trials? Remember the condition of the world in which we live. It's a fallen world. This world groans, waiting for redemption. Remember? Paul wrote about that in Romans chapter 8, verses 21 and 22. Should you think it strange that if you live in a fallen world that's under the curse of God, that there should not be all kinds of calamities? You know, some people have all kinds of problems in why God allows this, why God permits this, why is there this suffering, why do these people have difficulty, why would God allow children to suffer, and so forth and so on and it goes. And the answer is very obvious, because we live in a fallen world. This is the result of sin. This is the result of the curse. This is God's object lesson about His opinion of sin. Sin causes sorrow. Sin causes grief. Sin causes disaster. That's the nature of sin. Observe that, recognize that, learn that from the Word of God, how to properly understand these things, and let that be a lesson to you about the awfulness of sin. If you don't think that your sin and the sins of others deserve those kinds of responses, those kinds of trials, then you evidently don't have the same opinion of sin that God does. So who needs to adjust their thinking? I'd say it's you. So don't consider suffering surprising, and don't consider suffering illegitimate. Do not think it's strange, and don't consider it illegitimate, as though some strange thing, as though some foreign thing happened to you, as though this is something that ought not to be. You ought to expect it in a fallen world. Do you understand what happened in the garden in the fall? Do you understand that suffering is appointed to the people of God? The Bible tells us this over and over. Do you understand that God-approved living does not prevent suffering? It's not supposed to. Have you ever read the book of Job? Have you ever read the Bible sufficiently to understand that trials are not and ought not to be regarded as unworthy of true believers? Where did you ever get an idea like that? I mean, there's so many places we could turn in the Word of God to dispel those notions. What Bible have you been reading? John 15:20. Remember the word that I said to you, said Jesus? A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they persecuted me, did they? Of course they did. They will also persecute you. Are trials illegitimate? As though this is foreign to our existence, foreign to the way things ought to be for a child of God? Where did you get that idea? So it's wrong to consider trials surprising, and it's wrong to consider trials illegitimate, and it's wrong to consider suffering as something that is destructive. Fiery trial, difficult trial, painful trial. It is purifying, but it's not destructive. Don't consider it destructive. When trials come into your life, do you act as if your whole life has been destroyed? Not really. Maybe your idols have been destroyed. Maybe your illegitimate pleasures and your focus in life upon things that you ought not to be focusing on and loving and embracing and holding on to for dear life when God has pointed you in a different direction. No, the trial, though it is a fiery trial, is the fire of the refiner's fire, and it is purifying, not destructive. It is a test. It tests the genuineness of our faith, and that's good, and it removes the impurities out of our lives and out of our wrong thinking, and that's good. It strengthens us. It increases the value of our lives as servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your trial will have a positive outcome. Look for God's purpose in your trials. And when you do, you will realize that trials are not to be avoided at all costs. And you will understand that trials are used by God for good purposes. And we know, don't we? Do you know that all things, including your fiery trials, that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose? That's what the Bible says. Do you believe it? You say you believe the Bible. Do you believe that? Why then do you act as if you don't? Why do you act as if this trial is not good or will not work for your good? It will if you're a child of God. Keep these things in mind. Until next week, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.